Welcome to episode 9 of The End Line. I'm your host, Jeff Kasmer, and we're recording the evening of Tuesday, April 16th. This week, we're looking back on a home loss to DC United and forward to Saturday's match with the Chicago Fire. This week, we are running fast and lean with...
I'm Connor Cape, the voice of the Colorado Rapids on the Altitude Sports Radio Network. And Saturday against DC United was actually the first match since I got the job that I did not call due to conflict with the Avalanche and the Nuggets on at the same time. TV networks did not do Denver any favors by having the Avs and Nuggets both play at 8:30.
The Altitude Sports Radio Network just needs one more channel.
Yeah.
The just, Connor channel.
Just one more channel.
And?
I'm Jess Howen. I write for the Rapids on MLS Female.
And it's just the three of us, so let's get into it. Last week's show, we previewed a Seattle game and a DC game that actually... we played. Many of us were feeling like the Rapids would find some points last week, but here we are with zero from the week. Jess, in the post game, Coach Hudson said the Rapids might have scored too early. Is that a thing?
No, I don't think that's a thing at all. I mean, a goal is a goal regardless of if it's in the first 10 or the last 10. So,
yeah, that's a tough thing. I think what he was trying to say was, "Oh no, we scored too early." Like I think it's not meant to be taken that literally. I think it's more of, "Oh, we got off on a good foot and then we scored and then maybe we relaxed a little bit. Like we started out with the right mentality, but then maybe scored and lessened up on it. Took our foot off the gas almost." Yeah. I don't think he meant it as, "You know what? I'd rather not score."
I'm not big on this idea of like playing well or being the better team without winning on the scoreboard. But it is notable, right, that the first couple games, the opening of the game was so rough. And the last two games, it's like, well, you scored first. Like, that's a pretty good turnaround. Connor, when the score went up to 1-0, what'd you see on that first goal?
It was off a set piece, and it was Tommy Smith who knocked it down for Benny. I believe it was Tommy Smith. Mm-hmm. It was Tommy Smith.
That's right. Yeah.
I didn't call the game, so now I'm like, I don't know what happened.
Was it the north end or was it the south end?
It was the north end. Yeah. But Benny was at the far post all by himself, and DC just didn't mark him.
Nope.
And for the rest of the game, they didn't mark him. And I was like, how many times do you have to get, like, bit before you go ahead?
Well, they did the same to Kai in the second. They didn't mark him on that goal either.
I don't understand DC United's set pieces. So what I saw was the Rapids got the ball into the box. One of their tall guys knocked it down, created chaos, went right to Benny. And Benny, you know, he is what he is. And so he was able to finish it with aplomb.
It's funny. I imagine it was one of those balls where the milliseconds just feel like hours when you're Benny. Like, it comes at you, it hits you. I think it hit him in, like, the chest or the gut.
Well, and it hit him in the chest, and his back was to goal.
Right.
And so all you're thinking of is, I have to turn around. I have to turn
Drop,
around.
I have hit to turn it, around. Don't sky it over the crossbar. Do right. One of those classic. I always think of those as, the Deshaun Brown move, is to just kick it, like, 50 yards over the crossbar.
My worry when you have a play like that where the ball is kind of bouncing and caroming off of people and body parts is that your hand-eye coordination is going to be off because it's not falling where you think it's going to fall, and you just whiff it.
Yeah, yeah. Or slice it or put it off your own hand or something really kind of ugly that way, right? Because he must have been less than 3 feet from the goal line, right? It's just like you could put it in with a knee. You could put it in with a hip.
I think if he'd reached out with his backhand, he would have been touching the post.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was really close.
Clinical finish. I mean, a world-class strike. The kind of stuff you'll see on SportsCenter if you stayed up after the match.
I don't know if we made it to SportsCenter. Jess, the first game at Seattle this season, the Rapids gave up 2 goals in 4 minutes. Last week in Orlando, it was 2 goals in 3 minutes. This match, it was 3 goals in 8 minutes. This is a thing now, right? Like, once it happens 3 times, it's like multiple goals in an exceptionally short period of time.
I think if 3 games out of, you know, if we had like fewer than 7 games, then yes. But since we still have a majority of games where we haven't had this happen to us, that's not the trend as of yet.
Bold. Okay. 3 out of 7 is not enough for you to say there's like a multi-goal.
I mean, it's still a minority.
All right.
Like, percentage-wise.
I think it becomes a trend now that it's 3 times in a row, though. I think because once is lucky, twice is coincidence, three times is skill. So I think now we're at the point where it's like Kai Kamara's goal scoring streak, three games in a row. I think that's a trend.
Yeah.
And this, where the Rapids are conceding multiple goals within short time periods, I think that is. I think it's safe to say that that is a trend, and it's worrying, but it's also encouraging because you think for the rest of the match, oh, you're not playing so well. If you can just stop pointing the gun at your own foot,
yeah,
you'll get out with a result because you're scoring goals,
right?
Like that's not the issue right now. Is you know Benny scoring, Cole Bassett scoring, Kai Kamara scoring. Mezquita's on the score sheet now. Like, you have to feel good about the offense. Now it's just, all right, clean up these 5 or 10 minutes of games.
Yeah, it was interesting in the stadium. Number one, pulling up, I super didn't expect there to be a lot of people there.
Wait, is your license plate your last name?
It is. So, funny story. Abby was behind me driving up to the parking lot and took a photo of the car. It is my dad's car that I bought from him, and I haven't gotten Colorado plates yet, so... True facts. I mean, the Nevada plates.
That's the way you got to do it though, because somebody paid for the registration and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you get your full time length out of that.
I think one of the illusions of youth is like when I turn 18, I'm gonna leave this house and I'm never looking back. And then when you actually grow up, you're like, if a parent or a family member is like, oh, I'll pay for that. You're like, done and done. Thank you, and I'll take it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no, I couldn't let you. Here's my new address. Yeah, exactly. I'll be home on Friday. Exactly.
So I pull up with Abby behind me. We park. The parking lot was busy. It was hard to get into the parking lot. The dirt lot where I choose to park actually filled up. My wife didn't fit in there. She had to go around a different lot. And you get into the stadium. There's a good number of people there. Do we think it's like Wayne Rooney effect at that point, right? Like people wanting to, it's an extra reason for them to come out to an early spring game?
Well, absolutely. And it was also packaged as the whole Tim Howard retirement game package.
This was the Manchester United night.
Right. And then there's an Everton night.
There'll be three more.
Yeah.
There'll be Everton, U.S. Soccer, and then Colorado Rapids.
So I think it was probably marketed a little bit differently than most of the standard games because of that.
Yep.
And so then when you add on Wayne Rooney to that, then you've got people around here who, you know, pay far more attention to the English Premier League than I do that are like, hey, that guy, I'm gonna go see that. So
Waza.
It was interesting.
That's his nickname, by the way, Jess. Great. I know you don't follow the...
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I have no idea.
Jeff, it's Waza. That's
yes,
his nickname.
I'm not alone.
It would have been easy to not notice Wayne Rooney, I have to say, during the game. Like, I didn't see him other than one free kick he was taking. There was no other time where I was like, ooh, it's Wayne Rooney time.
And he skied a free kick at one point.
Yeah,
like, wasn't even close to goal.
Yeah,
I think the Rapids just shut down European superstars.
My gosh,
just bodied him up.
Phenomenal to watch him against Rooney.
I'm like a tentative Kofi Opari fan, I have to say. Like, what
I'm
I've
not
seen
tentative.
So far,
I'm all in.
You're only all in.
I'm over here nodding like you guys can see me.
Yes. Yeah, Jess also totally. On the Kofi Opari fan club. Speaking of defense, we talked last week about the midfield shape and the movement, whether it was or was not supporting the defense and kind of helping them figure this thing out. Connor, what did you see different about how the midfield moved?
I think this actually goes back two games to Orlando with Benny Failhaber kind of taking over that role as underneath striker slash 10, whatever you want to call it, if you have to put a label on it. But I think he's become the general of that midfield. And then also, Kellen Acosta seems like he's really in a comfortable place as a defensive midfielder next to Price. Like he looks like we're seeing him get on the ball more, for one. And the more he's on the ball, the more he's involved. Like, I feel like he makes better plays the more often he's on the ball, which I think... that's kind of a truism. That's probably true for like all players. Hey, when you give them the ball, they're going to make plays. But I think it's just when he's feeling good and when he's feeling involved, like I think he just plays that much better, because then we get to see his defensive work rate, which the dude, like, he doesn't look very big, but he's like not afraid to go up toe to toe with anybody, which is fantastic. It's just what you need out of one of your defensive midfielders. But then his passing and his vision, Like, it's, you know, you can have Benny Failhaber up top and you can have him as a guy who puts that final ball through. But if you're going to build out the back and you're going to be a possession team, you still have to have a midfielder who's going to be the one who starts it.
Yep.
And him and Jack Price now kind of splitting those duties, being the engine that gets it up to Cole Bassett or Mezquita or Failhaber, I think is working really well. I think that is maybe the biggest difference we've seen in the last couple of weeks is just guys finding comfortable roles. And, you know, maybe it's a guy like Benny Failhaber just getting 90 minutes fit. You know, Saturday against DC was the first match that he'd played the whole 90 minutes. And Acosta feeling comfortable in his role and understanding his role and what's being asked of him. I think it's all those little things coming together. And then also getting lots of good minutes out of youth like Cole Bassett. Like, we saw the assist and goal in Orlando, but he's 17, so he's going to have some bumps and bruises along the road. But the majority of the time that Cole Bassett's out there, he's giving you 110% and he's making plays on the offensive and defensive end. So I think it's just finally maybe a little bit of that cohesion and that chemistry that was missing early on. And with a lot of turnover, like bringing in Mezquita, bringing in Failhaber, guys finding the position that works best for them, I think that's just a natural thing and maybe we're starting to see it.
Yeah, I feel like Bassett kind of started the trend of strong performances in midfield. I feel like Benny's coming on. I haven't yet seen it from Price and Kellen. Like, they haven't shown me the moments where I go, like, yes, this is the guy that I'm waiting for.
Do you remember Cole Bassett's goal against Orlando?
Yes.
Do you remember the whole buildup of the play?
Vaguely.
So it starts with Rosenberry back in the right corner.
Okay.
And he puts a ball into the middle, about halfway between the top of the box and the halfway line, and yep. It's Acosta who receives it,
yep.
Facing our own goal, and he's being swallowed up by, I think it's Mendez for Orlando, and he just shrugs him off.
Yeah.
And Mendez goes flying like another 10 yards down the pitch, and Kellen Acosta turns, and all he has is green grass in front of him, space, time, gets to pick out his pass, but it starts with that turn. It starts with getting rid of the defender. And then he finds Benny further up the pitch, and then Benny finds Cole, and Cole puts it in the back of the net.
Yeah. And I think the Benny and Kellen, they have that potential where you know they can be the guy that you're watching the whole game of every time they touch the ball, something good is about to happen. And Benny, I think, is like right on that edge, and Kellen is showing signs of life. You know, I haven't figured out what I want from Jack Price yet. I
want Jack Price to be Diego Chara or Roger Espinoza. And they play two different positions because Diego Chara plays a defensive midfielder and Roger Espinoza plays more of a box-to-box midfielder, more of an attacking eight kind of for Sporting. But what I want Jack to be is just the guy who's physical, like the enforcer almost. You know what I mean? Like, yep. Diego Chara, if you come across the middle, he's going to say, no, you're not coming over here unchecked. He puts a shoulder into you. He clips your heels. He kicks
you.
Yep. Like, I want to see that physicality right before you get to the back line.
Yeah, and I feel like we saw some of that early last season, right, which led to this string of yellow cards.
Yes, got scared off with all the yellow cards.
That's right. I think it's like I need a little bit of the medium version, right? Like, we saw the too many ankles clipped, and now we've got too few. Like, give me a every third game yellow card now.
Just enough so that it resets.
That's right. Just second half, DC seemed content to sit deep. Colorado had 15 corner kicks in the whole game. Were you happy with the play in the second half? Like, did it feel like something good was going to happen?
Absolutely. I was looking at stats, actually. And the Rapids did so well in the second half that they actually swung the majority of the full game stats in their favor. And so there's really no reason that we should not have at least tied, if not won, because of how we played in that second half from a statistics perspective.
Yeah, and honestly, you just might have to tip your cap to DC United. Like, you come in on a double game week where your second game is at elevation and you hang on to a lead, whereas in the 75th minute, we're so used to watching teams just fall apart, mm-hmm. when they can't breathe anymore. Like, kudos to them. They stuck it out. Like, they put in a real defensive shift. But like Jess said, I mean, you feel a little hard done by it because you didn't come away with that equalizer. Like, they got the second, and I was like, okay, there's plenty of time to go get the equalizer, and then maybe DC United will be gassed. You can even go find a winner in added time or something like that. Yep. But
well, and I'm still not convinced that
the burn bomb header.
I am still not convinced that was not a goal. I watched the replay and I paused it and rewound it and paused it and rewound it. And there's really not a really good angle to see it from. From what it looked like for me was that it hit the underside and went in and he headed it out. I mean, it's an amazing defensive play by Birnbaum.
It's time for goal line technology.
Goal line technology.
Absolutely.
Jess, you might be emerging as like our resident conspiracy theorist. Just FYI, like
emerging. Emerging.
Yeah. Pretty soon we're going to have like the yarn up on with photos on the...
I promise no tinfoil hats.
Yeah. Great. Connor, we did talk about these corner kicks, and I think it was 15-3 or 15-4, something like that. It just felt like Colorado had nonstop corner kicks, and so few of them ended up dangerous. Like, why? It seems like we have the bodies, we have the physical size, we have the attributes to put the ball in play.
Right. I think I know what you're saying here, and what I think you want to, the direction that I would take is, are you process oriented or results oriented? And what I mean by that is, can you come up with a process and in a way and a routine of doing things that you believe majority of the time will give you a good result? Or do you do something the same way you've always done it because that one time you got a good result? Mm-hmm. Like if you do something stupid but it works out and you're like, okay, I should do that again, that worked. That's results-oriented thinking, and I think you want to be more process-oriented thinking. And the process is the more corner kicks that the Rapids are going to get, the more scoring opportunities they're going to get because we have so many tall guys who are aerial threats, whether it is Schuberg, Smith, Kamara, any of those guys. And then they knock a ball down to a guy like Benny or Price or Nico or whoever. Like, process was good. The results just didn't go our way, but I don't think that means you abandon the process because I think next time – we get 15 corners, we'll bang in 3 goals.
Boom.
Yeah,
3-0.
I mean, they seem to be a lot better positioned on a lot of the corner kicks from the game this time around.
Yeah, I think that's notable, right? There, of those 15, I don't recall any. There might have been one or two where the kick was taken poorly, leading to DC getting out on the break, right? And we saw that in Orlando, and you've seen it all season, whether a kick is exceptionally short or exceptionally long. And then the other team's on the counter. So.
You know what I thought was interesting, though, was DC United, they tried that same play that they scored that was Luciano Acosta's first goal.
The back corner.
At the top of the box where Wayne Rooney he puts the ball into the top of the box where no defenders are, and Acosta can either bring it down or volley it towards goal.
Yep.
They tried to do that again, but the ball it lofted just a little bit too much and hung up in the air just a little bit too much, and I was like, How arrogant to try that again. You get one of those a year. You don't get to volley another one in like that. You get one.
It was probably the altitude. Threw everything off. Ball carried a little bit extra.
Somebody got to tell Wayne about elevation.
Come on, Wayne Rooney. Connor, Sam Vines made his first start of the season. How do you think he compared to what we've seen from Cerna?
I think Cerna gives the Rapids a little bit more of an attacking threat. But defensively, Vines, you know, I think he put in the best defensive performance at left back that we've seen this year. And like we talked about on one of the podcasts either last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about how they went into preseason and it was an open position battle, and it was just Vinesy got hurt, and then Cerna played so well, like it was indisputably his job. Now Vines is healthy and Vines is ready to kind of say, all right, let me take a shot at this job. Let me see if I can do this. And defensively, thought it was terrific. And it reminded me of the Boca game where he was just phenomenal, one of the best players on the pitch. And now you take that performance, you take his first MLS start ever because he came off the bench in San Jose last year, and you say, all right, this was good. Now let's build off this, and let's make sure your next start, you get a little bit better. You get a little bit better, kind of like Cole Bassett where, you know, just the difference between Cole Bassett last year and now is immense, and that's because he's played. That's because he's earned the minutes, and because, you know, he's a young kid, so he's going to continue to improve. So with Vines, I just want to see progress every 90 minutes, even if you make mistakes, even if you get burnt by somebody. Like, you know, if we had to play Albert Elise again, I'm sure he would smoke Sam Vines too, because he's just that elite of a player.
Yeah,
but there's still positives to take away from performances like that. And I think that's what we need to see from Vines.
I think it was notable. He didn't seem like a liability. right? He seemed like he was holding his own more or less. I mean, yeah, there was like a goal where he could have been in a better position and so forth, but you didn't look at him and go like, oh, there's a child out there playing.
Right, there wasn't a glaring weak link anywhere.
Yeah.
He did feel like really underutilized to me at times because it looked like, you know, he was, you know, way out wide open and we're trying to play the ball down the opposite side and it's, we got this guy over here, why aren't we using him more?
Speaking of just, we've been on this multi-year quest for attractive attacking soccer. We scored a couple goals.
I thought you were going to say something else. When you said playoffs, attractive, I was like, where are you going with this? What attractive thing are we looking for?
Attractive attacking soccer. Scored two goals, spent a lot of time in the attack, had a good shot at a third goal, right? The price is that all this pressure is on individual defensive performances. And so far, whether it is the talent level of the defenders themselves or the shape or the preparation or whatever, they can't, they haven't been able to deliver on defense, right? And a team that a couple seasons ago was putting up clean sheets left and right, it's almost unimaginable now. I mean, surely it'll happen sooner or later, but you can't remember the last time you saw the Rapids put up a clean sheet. Is it worth it to get this attractive attacking soccer?
I do remember the last clean sheet. It was last year in San Jose, October 21st.
Okay, so it was at least, what, 6-7 months ago? Jess, worth it?
No, not at this point.
Oh, come on! Everyone says we need more goals. We need to score more. We want to see more offense. We want to see attractive soccer. All right, it's here. Now we'll figure out the defense as we go along. It's going to be cleaned up. We'll figure it out. But now we're saying we don't want to see the attractive soccer. We want to play like Jose Mourinho.
Oh,
we want to put 11 guys behind the ball.
Listen,
try to win every game 0-0.
Listen.
I am upset.
I don't care. I want to win. I don't care if it's a pretty goal or if it's an ugly, holy crap, how did that go in? I want to win.
I think this is more process-oriented versus results-oriented. And I think if the Rapids run a good process of attacking attractive soccer, as things get sorted out, I think it will end up being beneficial long-term.
Man, I hope so.
Pep Guardiola was talking about it with Man City. He's like, he said something about how, I knew if I came here and was able to play soccer the way I wanted to play, we'd win every trophy. Maybe not, you know, all in one year. Like, you know, they're going for the quadruple right now, but we'll see what happens. But he said, if we can play football the way I want to play, we'll win more than we lose. And I think that's kind of where the Rapids are at. Not like Pep Guardiola Man City levels or anything like that, but just if you can play the way you want to play, the process is there. Like, you can see the blueprint and you can see the architecture of the plan. Now it's just figuring out how to make all the pieces work together. That's where I think we're at. It's under construction.
I think the defense, the individuals on the defense are the question mark, right? And like, whether it's the strategy or it's the talent or it's the execution, whatever, you're still, it's not close, right? Each game you're looking at like serious breakdowns. It's not like fluke goals or worse, you know, even when we have the own goals in the distant past, which we've left behind. But those weren't moments where it was like, oh my God, I can't believe that guy did that. It's like somebody right behind him was gonna put it in the net. He was trying to defend it reasonably. There's no real reinforcements coming, Jess. You know, we've got Corford. Somebody tweeted that he made an appearance today at practice.
What Twitter account was that, Jeffrey?
Mile High Cape, Mile High Cape, said Corford out there at practice. Didn't really specify whether he was moving around real fast or training or doing
He was participating in training instead of doing the jogging and agility and cardio drills. So participating in training, that's as good as you can get.
So with no inside knowledge, based on what we've seen, right, like we know Hudson wants people to be at full 90-minute fitness really before they see the field. You got to think we're at least 4 weeks from court starting a game, probably 5 or 6. Based on the Opari signing in the offseason, I doubt that there are any more defensive signings happening, right, in the summer transfer window.
Now, when you say defensive, you mean center back specifically?
Anywhere on the defense.
Because we just threw on Seb Anderson.
Yeah, fair. I don't know.
Is that not a player? Is that not a signing, Jeffrey?
Technically, he's allowed to play now. But at what is
he's been in the 18 every week he's been a professional.
Yeah.
It's not like we signed him and stashed him.
Yeah. I guess I'm just still skeptical of like how many children can we put on the field at one time.
I want to see as many as possible. Like oh. I think
play the youth.
It's the U19 team.
Yeah. If we throw out the Rapids U23 squad, but if we put Bassett, Vines, and Seb Anderson out there, there's three teenagers. And then you put Kai Kamara up top, Benny Failhaber in the middle, Acosta. That feels like a pretty good squad to me.
It could, but I kind of worry about the...
Oh, take your worries out.
You know what? I worry about, you know, the lack of experience. Like, when we face somebody like a Zlatan or like those heavier, like...
That's
how they get their experience, but at the same time,
yeah,
that's
a good point. This is how they get their experience is by playing minutes, and there's no teacher like experience,
right.
But
at what cost?
It's not like
at the same time.
It's not like Zlatan is only beating up on children.
Yeah, but relatively, like he is. He's like 15 years old.
He's roasting adults, too. Like, he's just really good.
Is he old enough to be their dad? Because I think he might be.
Yeah, yes. For sure is.
Yes, and that's what I said. After Seb got signed was Tim Howard before Seb Anderson was a year old because Seb was born in August. And then the following June, Tim Howard transferred to Man United.
Nice. The thing that stands out to me watching Zlatan is his body control and how it's like any ball in his area can be hit with precision and power. You know, I think we were joking last week about Kai going for bicycle kicks and so forth. Bicycle kicks so rarely... Not only do they rarely work, but they rarely look like even in control. You know, it's like you're taking a swing at it. Let's see what happens. With Zlatan, I feel like he's hitting balls over his head or he's jump, scissor, kicking, whatever. And it looks like this has a decent every time it's probably going in the net.
I think the other thing about Zlatan is, you know, not to fall onto a Zlatan hype train or anything here because it's not a Galaxy podcast. But... When he's out of sorts, like when his body's going one way and the ball is another, his ability to one touch it like while falling down or it's trailing behind him and get it under control with a defender on him is incredible.
Yeah. Well, and that's, again, that harkens back to all that experience. I mean, you don't.
So if we want Seb Anderson to turn into Zlatan, we just got to throw him out there.
We got to put him in a different position too, don't we?
I mean, I like right backs who score. Graham Zusi is an offensive threat. There's a reason why Graham Zusi is like such a good fantasy play. It's because he
does
like defensive things.
We need a sound effect for
things.
The first time it turns into a Sporting KC podcast each episode. I'll like, wah, wah, wah. Here comes Sporting KC. Jess, okay, let's not like paper over. This is another loss. Still trying to find the first win of the season, find the third point of the season after how many games? Six?
Seven.
Seven actual played games, right? This is real bad. And fans are reasonably upset, right? I don't think they had a lot of tolerance coming out of last season, you know, or a lot of kind of momentum, right? People wanted to be excited coming out of the offseason, but seeing losses stack up, seeing defensive errors, it's like, oh, I know how this goes. I watched this all of last season. Let's say you're Porrick Smith. And let's assume, you know, when people talk about Coach Hudson and whether we need a new coach, to me, that's very naive. Like, if you somehow recruit and put in a new coach a quarter of the way into the season, your season's over anyway, right? Like, it's very unlikely that you're going to make some kind of recovery. So if we...
What about last year with Red Bulls?
Yeah.
Jesse Marsh.
How's that working out?
Well... They won the Supporters Shield.
Yeah, it worked pretty well for him last season.
Yeah, when Marsh left halfway through the year.
When they kept doing
Armas.
What Marsh was doing. Now that Armas is on his own show.
He was on his own show for the whole second half of the summer. They didn't have a collapse. They won the Supporters Shield.
Yeah.
So get Tyler Adams, and then we'll be okay. Right? But
that's
now no Tyler Adams.
Anderson.
No. Oh.
So,
okay.
So Connor, is that your bold prediction, Seb Anderson to Bundesliga, or what?
Tyler Adams.
I mean, that'd be pretty dope, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, that's true.
That would be dope. I'll
optimistic.
Take him for more than 2 years.
Yeah, I'm optimistic.
All right, Jess, if you're Porrick Smith, let's assume that a midseason coaching change is essentially off the table because it is difficult, if at all, to recover from? Like, is there anything for the front office to do? Or is it just the coach and the players at this point?
And we're not assuming additional signings, or are we like?
I don't know.
How
I mean,
you...
is that your secret sauce? Like, well, we need a signing. Like, is that a realistic idea?
I think realistically, what needs to happen is, I think it is more coach and players at this point, because there, I feel like that's leading to the lack of cohesiveness when things go wrong. Is that something is the communication is not where it all the way needs to be. Which if you're front office, there's really, I don't think there's anything Porg can do about that. You know, that I think is more on a ground level of something that needs to be handled. You know, and if we bring in another signing, I don't know that that necessarily aids to it. You know, it makes anything better. It might make things worse in some ways, because now you're introducing this new person who has to figure out the community, the communication, all this stuff that we've already been struggling with. I mean, if you can bring in, maybe you bring in somebody who becomes like a uniter,
right,
or they could be the worst thing. You know, it's hard.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, when we saw Coach Pablo struggling, part of the attempted answer was to bring in assistant coaches, right, and bring in folks with a little more of offensive eye and so forth. I wonder if there's any, I don't think that approach obviously didn't go anywhere. And I don't know that you can add assistant coaches to like fix gaps of your head coach.
Right.
But it does make me wonder of like, does he have the support he needs? And is there more to gain there? Like, if we're going to say we're in on his vision, right? We're 18 months or whatever it is into Coach Hudson's vision. Do we double down on that? Or do you try and like go some different direction?
Oh, man.
Where'd Connor go? He's missing. He's been abducted. We started talking about coaching, and then he's just
That's
vanished.
All right. I'll take it. Honestly, at this point, you know, like you said, we're 18 months into this, you know, and rebuilding takes a lot of time. Unfortunately, in sports, you don't really get the time that you need frequently. So I don't, honestly, I'm out. I don't double down at this point. I say, okay, we need to scrap the plan and try again. Whether it's Hudson needs to reevaluate his approach and we look at a different route, we look for the plan B, the plan C, or, you know, we take a left instead of a right on plan A, or we bring in somebody new entirely, I think, I mean, we have to do something to change, because at this point we're no better. We are far worse than we were last season. And we've got a better team, I think, this season than we had last season.
The thing that gives me a little bit of hope is that we've never seen momentum. We've never seen the team put together.
Momentum
two, three,
in sports isn't real.
That's definitely false.
No, it's not real.
Because it's not real. That's how people work. That's how confidence works.
That's a different right. thing than momentum.
Okay, so let's say confidence. We haven't seen a short period of positive results, right?
San Jose, Minnesota, Dallas last year.
Yeah, but not like in a convince. Also on the road, I feel like is less convincing. If we see...
Wait, what?
What?
Why is on the road less convincing?
It's harder to win on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... it was like at that point, it was so hopeless. Like there was no... It didn't actually make you feel like, oh, this thing has turned around. You know what
Why
I'm saying?
Not?
It was just like, okay,
Why
like
not?
We stumbled into a couple of good results.
We went into Minnesota, who played really well at home, and now we'll see how they play at the Allianz, but at the University of Minnesota, they were really good at home, and we beat them by 2 goals.
Yeah.
And we went to San Jose, and Chris Wondolowski didn't break the all-time goal record against us. We beat Dallas, a playoff team, after going down 1-0 at home.
Yes. Yep. And that's it. Like, that's the best stretch, more or less, of the Hudson era. And so what I'm trying to say is, I think when players play with confidence, you're going to get better results, right? Rapids players under Hudson, we've never seen them really playing with confidence. And even if we accept this like 3-game stretch at the end of the season, half those guys were gone by the time we started this year. I'm curious to see if it could, if just by your percentages or a little bit of skill, a little bit of luck, whatever, if you got two or three good results in a row, then you would really find out, like, is there something here? Like, if you had two good results, three good results, and it goes right back into the toilet after that, then you say, okay, this plan was bad.
Winning streak starts noon o'clock Central Time in Bridgeview, Illinois.
I mean, there are a few places that you're more likely to get right than visiting Chicago Fire and the 14 fans at their game.
Hey, though, if we did go into Chicago, get a dub, go to Atlanta, get a dub while they're struggling to find themselves, come back, beat Vancouver, I think everybody then is like ticker tape parade.
Yeah, the home game against Vancouver, I think, is promising for that, right? Vancouver...
I don't see why the next three games aren't promising. Like, Chicago is a 2016 playoff team that had so much youth and promise, and then the last couple of years they've been unable to replicate it and build on it, and they're still, like, in this weird, awkward limbo. And the whole club is in an awkward limbo where they're talking about moving back to Soldier Field and rebranding and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like the Fire just as a whole are a weird place. And then Atlanta, they're still figuring themselves out under DeBoer. They could be ripe for the picking.
We are going to get into Chicago in a couple minutes. But first, I want to come back to Sam Vines. And last weekend, we saw his first start of the year.
His career.
Of his career.
Big time
at
for him. Big
MLS
time.
Level.
It was Pine's first start, too. Of his career.
Yeah. All the kids. All the kids were out there. Earlier this spring, right before the start of the season, I got to interview Sam Vines. And so it seemed like today was the day to share it with you. Here it goes.
This is Jeff Kasmer, and I'm talking this afternoon with Sam Vines. Sam, wanted to ask you first, coming back from your time with the Independents, what are the concrete things you learned during that time?
For me, it was just getting as many games as I could in 1 year. And it worked out really well. I got to play 29 games last year, and it worked out very well for me because it helps you get ready to play in the MLS and the USL. I mean, it's a good league, good league to start in. And I mean, also living on my own. That was the first time I've been living by myself in another state, away from family. So it helped me mature on and off the field. And yeah, I think it was a good positive year for me.
It's interesting you mentioned that. I think a lot of people overlook that being a young person, right? If folks go off to college, living on their own, that's difficult, challenging in a whole bunch of ways. And you have all these support resources and structures and other people doing the same thing. When you were out in Charlotte, you know, were there other young folks like just getting their career started also, or was it mostly like kind of mid-career and veteran?
There were probably a few guys. Most of them just finished up with college, but yeah, most of them either had families or had kids. But there's a lot of us in one apartment complex, so we all got to hang out with each other and pretty much grow up together. And I mean, go to dinner, go do stuff together. So, I mean, it didn't feel like I was away from home with all the guys that were there. So, for me, it worked out really well.
Yeah, and then come in. Into training camp this year, you know, did it feel like a similar kind of speed with the senior team, or does it feel like you're trying to like play catch up?
I mean, the guy, it's good being around the same guys as last year. I got to know these guys a little bit from the times I came back and playing games with them. So it's not too bad. I mean, obviously it's going to be different than playing in the USL. It's a higher level, higher paced team. So, it's been a good preseason. I've been able to fit in with the guys, and I'm excited for this year.
Yeah, at your position, left back, there's a lot of uncertainty coming in. There's a lot of names get floated of guys who could be the day one starter, who's the end of the season starter. What's your attitude been like approaching, kind of establishing yourself? You know, are you a person who's quiet and try and, you know, let your play speak for itself, or are you going to be advocating for yourself and saying like, hey, I should get this shot?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone wants to win the starting spot in the team. For me, yeah, I want to be the starting left back, try and win it, try and be starting left back the whole season. But it's difficult. It's not always going to happen. It's not always going to be every game. But for me, yeah, it's just trying to play my best every day and trying to secure that spot.
As you learn to be a pro, who are the people that you rely on, like in life and in the locker room?
For me, I mean, in life, it's usually my parents. They help me out with everything. Decisions, everything I've done in my life. And then, I mean, in the locker room, just the older guys. I mean, the older guys, they're very experienced. They know what they're talking about. So, I mean, for me, yeah, it's definitely the older guys in the locker room.
There's been a lot said last season, about kind of the environment built in the locker room, especially under Coach Hudson's leadership. Howard's been quoted a couple times as seeing very what he calls like European kind of standards. What's that feel like for you day to day? You know, does it feel like everything's super driven and demanding, or what's that experience like?
I think it's a good experience for me. I mean, we have high standards here. We want to, as we should, we want to win. We want to win the league. So we should have high standards. We should be driving and training. We should have high standards just like European teams do. So Tim has a good knowledge of European teams. He was over there pretty much his whole career. So it's good for him to be a leader of this team and helps us strive to be the best team in the league.
I'm sure as you talk to those players with experience, they always got their tips and advice. And I'm sure people are telling you to, you know, work hard, outwork everybody else, stay disciplined, all those kinds of, almost obvious tips. Has there been anything that was unexpected or surprising that people gave you as advice?
Not necessarily surprising, but they tell you to take care of your body off the field every day. I think that's what's helped me learn how to be professional. It's just off the field, you just got to take care of yourself. And not everything's on the field. You have to take care of your body. You got to take care of your diet. You have to take care of your habits, what you do during the day. So, yeah, they've helped a lot.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was reading an interesting article about Kobe Bryant, and he was saying in it that he didn't start stretching until he was like 27, I think, or 28, you know, that he would just show up and start playing. And now I guess if you want your career to be long and great, you know, we do a little bit more. Speaking of, you know, your career, you're really coming of age in the time of data and sports science, and everybody's wearing trackers all the time. And I imagine some of the older players may be skeptical a bit of all that data emphasis. Do you see it as useful to your kind of daily motivation, your understanding of your own body, or is the data and so forth things that mostly coaches look at and you don't worry about?
I love the data. I love seeing how much we're working and training and trying to, top it every week and try and get more fit every week. Especially in preseason, I think it's very important to see how much you're loading every day and how much you have for the next training session. So for me personally, I think the tracking, the data, I think it's helped us a lot through the preseason to make sure no one gets injured and help us and just take care of our bodies.
Yeah. Today it was announced that Kofi's on the squad officially. Can you comment on like what you've seen out of him this preseason?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a top class player. I mean, I've been training with him for a few weeks, and he looks like a solid center back, someone who's good on the ball, someone that likes to play well. So I think he's going to fit in the team really well, and I'm excited for him to start up the season.
Last season, well, I guess 2 years ago, the back line, the defense overall was record-setting quality. Last season, it regressed in pretty much every category, pretty much every way you look at it. What do you think it's going to take this year to have a strong defense like 2016?
I think it's just going to take the whole team effort. The way we're going to play this year, it's a whole team press, so we all have to work together as a team. instead of just focusing on one, you know, the back line or midfield. I think just overall we have to work as a team, and I think we can set more records this year defensively, just of how hard we've been working in preseason, how we've been working on our tactics. I think it's going to be a good season for us.
Whether you have Tim or Clint or Andre back there in goal, they're talkers, right? They're always shouting some tips, some perspectives, some, let's say, helpful suggestions. When you're hearing those things on the field, is it usually a reminder of a thing you already know or you're already thinking, or does it feel kind of like they're seeing something that you're not seeing? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, all the keepers we have, they talk mostly the whole game, which is good for everyone on the pitch. It helps us to all understand what our goals are for the game. So, I mean, with them back there, I think it's helping us a lot. And I mean, it's reminders, but it's also, I mean, check your shoulder, you know, look over your right shoulder, look over your left shoulder, press that. I mean, everything is helpful in a way. And I think it just helps the whole team morale to work harder.
We've seen, got to watch a bit of the LA game, and we've seen the front of the team press a lot more, right? Which, if it works, amazing, get the ball on the other end. If it doesn't work, leaves you a little more exposed on the back line, a little more frequent one-on-ones and two-on-ones and so forth if the ball makes it that far. How do you feel about the press as a strategy? Does it make you feel like excited, worried, a little bit of both?
For me, it's just excited. I mean, as a team, if we're all doing our job and we're all working as a team, then our press will work. But if you guys are sleeping, then our press isn't going to work. So it's got to be a whole team effort. But for me, I think it's going to work this year. I think if we all work as a team and we all stick to our jobs, then yeah, I think it'll work.
As a team, I think the fans, community, as reasonable expectations are saying, hey, if we could make the playoffs this year, we'll be feeling pretty good. For you on a personal level, what are your metrics that you're keeping track of? Like, where do your personal goals stand for the season?
Personal goals, I mean, I would like to play as many games as I could. But for me, I think it's just more of a team goal. I want us to make the playoffs. I want us to be in the top four spot in the West. And I want us to, I mean, go as far into the playoffs as we can. So for me, it's more team goals. But, I mean, if I had a personal goal, yeah, I'd be play as many games as I could.
What particular aspects of your game are you most focused on developing? You know, when we're watching you from the stands, like, what should we be looking at, your marking, at your distribution? You know, what are the particular things that you're focused on this year?
Just getting up and down the pitch, working as an outside back, and try and get as many crosses into the box for Kai and Diego to score some goals this year. I think that's what you guys should expect from the outside backs this year.
I think so far what we've seen in preseason, Keegan Rosenberry's like really impressed and caught a lot of people's eye. Are there things that you can learn from him on the field, off the field, like kind of pick up some bits of his experience?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's a great player. He's been with the men's national team, so he knows what he's doing. So, yeah, I mean, just watching him and taking notes from what he's been doing, he's been getting up and down the pitch really well. He knows how to defend. He's just an all-around good player. So it's always good to watch these guys because they can help in my game and help me improve in my decision-making and how often I go forward and back. But, yeah, he's a good guy to watch for sure.
Awesome. Well, Sam, thanks for your time. Hope you have a good week in training.
All right. So you heard a bit from Sam Vines. Connor, what have your impressions been of him at training so far this season?
He's a kid who acts like he belongs. And I mean, like, he's got all the confidence that you'd want out of a 19-year-old stepping into a professional sports team. And, yeah, he had that year in Charlotte, which I think was hugely beneficial and massive just for his confidence as a human being and a professional soccer player. So it's not quite such a culture shock for him. And then, of course, you know, as a homegrown, like, he trained with the team before signing and all that. But, like, he doesn't look skittish. He doesn't look timid. He looks like one of the guys, just younger.
Jess, do you think he Do you think it was the right choice to start him over Cerna this weekend? And is it the start of a 3 or 4 or 5 game stint for him?
I think it was the right choice to start him over over Cerna. I've also always liked Cerna better as a sub than I've liked him as a starter. So there is that. Whether or not it's, I mean, we'll see. I mean, he did well. Like
Connor's
I said earlier,
he's gonna get mad at you if you don't prognosticate.
Yeah, you need to like step out on the ledge here, Jess, which is short for Jessica.
3 games in a row.
3 games in a row. No.
Ooh.
No.
I think yes.
Okay. I think yes.
I think on barring injury or I think the vulnerability could be like a double game week. Like he might.
When
play
is our
one.
Next double game week?
Yeah, I don't know. Aren't you? You're supposed to be who knows this.
Know that we...
That's in the future. I can't predict that.
Distant future.
But to answer that question a little more in depth, Jess, is I think Cerna got a little bit of a run at left back, and now I think you give Vines a little bit of a run. I don't think it's fair to either player to say, go play 90 minutes, and then, all right, you're going to sit. Go play 90 minutes, all right, you're going to sit. Like, that doesn't allow anybody to get into a rhythm or to feel comfortable in their role. So I think that's why we could see him. You know, he didn't implode.
Yeah.
Like we talked about, he looked like a professional out there. He looked like a member of a professional soccer team. You couldn't tell that he was just a kid.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point that I've heard brought up in the last year or so. When you compare like homegrowns and TAM players, right, which is not the same situation, but you look at a TAM player or a DP player and they get put in the 11, they maybe struggle. They're going to get 6, 8, 10, 12 games to like get right. And historically with MLS, you put a homegrown player out, they get a shot, or maybe they get 2 weeks, and if they don't deliver, they're out, and now, you know, some veteran is in their spot.
That's the frustrating thing, isn't it? It's like, well, he played in Europe.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, cool. What's he done for me lately?
Yeah.
I could go play in Europe. I couldn't.
Definitely not true.
But it's what you're talking about, though. It's like you bring in guys who maybe have a little bit more of status or whatever word you want to say.
Yeah.
And people always use that argument. I was like, well, he played for Ligue 1 team or Serie A team or whatever.
If you did play in Europe, Connor, would it be your third time putting on the boots? 2 media cups?
Yeah, I guess it would be. So
soccer history?
I think I'd be a natural at that point.
Yeah.
I think I'd just be a natural.
Uh-huh. All right, so we're saying we like Sam Vines. I'm saying at least 3, probably more starts in a row. But Connor, we know the defensive unit is struggling. Does it make sense to put him out there when, you know, he's already to like put him into a place of struggle? Or is that maybe the only way that you inject new players? Like you don't put in new starters when everything's going great.
You answered your own question there. Is if you're on a great run of form and you're racking up 3 points every weekend, you know, you don't mess with what works. Whereas where we are now in the concession of goals, like we're trying to find a stop. We're trying to find a way to fix the leaks. And maybe it is the 19-year-old. And the other thing is, like, when you are conceding goals, I don't want to say, well, can it get worse? But that's kind of my thought process is, what's the difference between conceding 3 or 4 times and conceding 8 times?
Yeah, and I think as long as he can represent as well as Cerna was doing, then it's like, well, if you're going to develop one of the two as your starting left back, then it's like you might as well do the young kid, right?
And just that approach just kind of feels like you're throwing shit at the wall and hoping it sticks, and that's...
Yeah, we haven't won any games.
I know, but it's aggravating. Like,
well, look at it this way: is it's part of fulfilling a promise of the development academy being a part of the first team. Is you've signed this guy, you groomed him, now see what he's got. You gave him a year in Charlotte, where if Eugene was here, which Eugene apparently like watched every Charlotte Independence game last year, so
wow!
Shout out to Eugene.
Shout out to Eugene's patience.
But he said, you know, Vines looked like one of the best players on the pitch almost every time out, going up against adults. It's not just other 19-year-olds out there in the USL.
Right.
And then if you talk to Brian Crookham, who's with the club, like same thing. Like, Vines looked really good in Charlotte. He earned his time here with the Rapids. He earned the first team call-up. He earned the minutes that he's getting. And I think that's part of fulfilling the promise that the Development Academy is going to be a true pathway to the first team.
Yeah, and
like,
that's...
It's not just like, we have this Development Academy and little kids play here. It's like, we have this Development Academy and we're developing kids.
Yeah.
We're not going to get started on my frustrations with the U7 Rapids youth experience because it sucks, okay, as a parent. But when we talk about Seb Anderson...
That makes two of us.
Alone here, Jeffrey.
It's ridiculous. One day I'll have my rant episode of how silly this whole thing is.
One day you'll do this without a panel and you'll just talk.
The panel is actually just me. It's a monologue like most other podcasts.
It's your soliloquy.
Yeah. Starting opening day 2021 season, just under 3 years from now.
Jeffrey.
Man.
Jeffrey, what?
Yeah. Opening day.
I don't know what I'm going to have for breakfast tomorrow.
Is Sam Vines your starting left back? Sam Vines, 21 years old.
I will say
2021.
I will say either yes or no. But if it's no, it's going to be for all the right reasons.
Because he's sold.
It's because he's gone on to Europe and he's making us proud. Or maybe he goes to South America and plays for River Plate. I don't know. Wherever he goes, I think it'll be a step up for his career, his potential, his growth as a soccer player and as a human being. I don't think it'll be the answer no. Because he couldn't make it work.
Yeah.
So it'll either be yes, because he's good, or no, because he's good.
In our first episode of the 2021 season, we'll come back to this, Jess. So what is your prediction?
How are you more comfortable predicting this, which is 2 years away, than...
Who said I was predicting anything?
Whether or not he would play three games in a row.
I was just about to say I'm probably going to piss Connor off. I think it entirely... I mean, it's possible. It is absolutely possible.
Oh, golly.
But
where
I want to see more of him first.
Where is the straight answer?
Unlike Eugene, I have not watched a year's worth of the Charlotte team. So I want to see more out of him before I really hit hard one way or another, to be honest. Like, because to base it off of like what I saw, I mean, just the one exposure... Like, my gut would be no, because he was heavily underutilized.
You didn't However, watch him against San Jose last year? You didn't watch him against Boca Juniors?
Oh, I probably watched him. No, I didn't watch Boca Juniors.
Zach McMath, our hero.
Zach McMath.
I was far more worried about my niece at the San Jose game than the game itself, to be honest.
This Saturday, your Colorado Rapids will visit the Chicago Fire with an early kickoff at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. Connor.
Yeah.
The Fire have... two draws in a row coming into this game.
Okay.
Should we be hoping for a third?
No, let's go get 3 points.
3-0 Pids. Connor is down.
3-0 Pids. Let's just go get 3 points. Like, what's stopping us? Major League Soccer is a weird league. Teams win on the road.
It's actually weird to me how infrequently they win on the road. Like, being on the road shouldn't be that much of a disadvantage. I think it's kind of sad.
I think, and this is something I've thought about for a little while, I think... MLS has this weird stigma that other North American sports don't around the travel and scheduling and weather, because everyone else around the sports here, whether it's basketball or football or baseball, they're used to it.
Yeah.
And they're used to flying 1,000 miles, whereas like the Europeans, they almost have this like mental block about it. They're like, we're going to fly for how long? 3 hours? I've never done that. Like, how am I?
Right.
Yeah. This is impossible. Like, it's just, it's ingrained in our heads that it's no big deal. But I think, like, Europeans almost approach it as this roadblock that they can't surpass. And it's like you're playing head games against yourself.
Yeah. And also, I think there's that idea, right, of like win at home and draw on the road is like good enough in MLS. And I think that does undercut your maybe focus to a degree. There's no other sport where you go on the road in the US and you go, like, let's just try not to lose.
Well, there's no other sport that rewards you for not winning.
Yeah.
Except hockey, you know, you get a point for an overtime loss, but that's really hard to pull off. You might as well just go win the game at that point.
Might as well. Speaking of, Jess, are you satisfied with a draw in Chicago?
No.
3 points or nothing.
I'm honestly not satisfied with a draw at this point. Because we've got two of them. We need something in the W column now.
Yeah, that W column, very lonely. Based on what we know so far, Jess, do you want to see any changes to the lineup this weekend?
I actually really liked the lineup that we put out for against DC United. So I would say no. I mean, maybe bring in Shinichiki a little sooner, but yeah. Other than that,
I think the humans I would expect to be the same ones in the 11. You know,
did you call them humans?
The humans.
He did just call them humans.
The players.
All right.
The men. Connor, what do you think about shape? Like, we've seen this adaptation to the shape the last 2 weeks. Do you expect to see the same this weekend?
Let me word this the right way so I don't get in trouble. I have no insider information on this, but I would gauge that since we are scoring goals with the way things are looking, I think we'll see Benny Feilhaber kind of in that role again. It's just finding where Mezquita fits, where Rubio fits, because Kamara and Benny, they work off each other so well, but you don't want Rubio to go unutilized, and you don't want Mezquita to go unutilized because they bring so many things to the team as well. So it's just figuring out what works best for everybody. But I think based on the fact that we have scored goals with this, I think we can look for something similar.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worked a lot better in our favor than the diamond has.
And I will say, to circle back to a previous conversation on this podcast.
Yes.
From 3 minutes ago.
Is it about Sporting Kansas City?
From 3 minutes ago. I will say that one thing that I will commend Coach Hudson for and the staff and the front office is there is no fear on the road.
Yeah.
We go out looking to get 3 points every time. We go out looking to play attractive, attacking, high-quality soccer. There is no, well, let's put 11 guys behind the ball and try to get that point, which is entirely commendable. But I understand, you know, maybe not everybody feels that way. It's okay to be wrong, but I love, love, love when teams go on the road and say, we're going to try to get it all.
Also on the subject of backtracking, I left.
No, we've backtracked enough. We need to go forward now. This is too much.
How dare you, sir?
Jeff, what were you going to say?
I left Mezquita off the list of people who I'm still like cheering for. You know, he's such a just like compelling person, like just kind of charismatic. It's the way he plays, the way he talks about the game,
incredible.
The work rate. And it's like, I just want him to see, I want to see him have the game that you know he can have, right?
Right.
And we haven't seen his best yet, or we haven't seen it fit together with everybody else.
Right. But his work rate, going forward, going backwards, like I love to just watch him zoom around.
Speaking of interesting players, the Fire kind of have this collection of spare parts that are individually.
It's a really rude thing to say about a World Cup winner.
Okay. Well, I mean, he did get shipped off to the Fire for like $10. So
cripes.
If
I ever win a World Cup, don't talk about me that way.
You're never going to win a World
We're
Cup.
Safe on that
give,
one.
Give me time.
If
give
you
me
ever
a minute.
Broadcast
you probably
cup.
Won't even win a Media Cup, to be honest.
My team won the Media Cup last year, 9-3. I scored.
You would say that was last year. Talk to me about this year. So speaking of the Fire this year, like it's not quite clicking. As you said, they have notable players. They have some like name brand players.
Well, they have the 2017 Golden Boot winner in Nemanja Nikolic.
Yeah.
They have Gaetan now. They have CJ Sapong, who's kind of bounced around from Sporting Kansas City and the Philadelphia Union, but he's scored goals everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
They have Bastian Schweinsteiger. Now they have David Ustad in goal, and Ustad's a pretty reliable keeper. He's got the most appearances at goalkeeper for the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Didn't he have like a howler last week? Wasn't there some moment looking at
He had the one against the Galaxy though earlier in like week one or two where his latte, he pushed it over the bar while falling into the net.
Yeah.
He had like two or three just remarkable saves against Zlatan.
So overall, I was with you until the Ustad shout, but
There's nothing wrong with David Ustad.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. Like
Kellen Acosta chipped him last year in
all
DC.
All the backup quality keepers in the MLS, there's nothing wrong with them.
In the what?
In the MLS.
He's not a backup quality keeper, though. He's a starting quality keeper.
Yeah, okay. Why hasn't it clicked yet for the Fire?
I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know. And they don't seem to know either because they've been kind of trying to figure it out for the last couple of years. Like we said, their 2016 was so good and they finished second or third in the Supporters Shield race or second and third in the Eastern Conference. And they looked like with all this youthful core and they had David Akam and they were going to be wonderful and going forward. And then they traded Akam for Sapong and kind of switched around some parts. And Nemanja Nikolic hasn't been able to find his 2017 form. and they haven't been able to decide if they want to play Bastian Schweinsteiger as a defensive midfielder or as a center back.
Center back seems like sad.
And then they have David Ostad, and David Ostad apparently is a question mark for Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
I love their attack though, and now they just brought in Gaetan. He's gonna do some damage. He's not like a Pity Martinez Pozuelo type of player. But he's up there as far as dynamic game changers.
Jess, we got these two road games before returning home on May 3rd. If we get to May and still sit at 2 points on the season, is the season over?
Beginning of May or end of May?
Beginning of May.
No, it's not over.
The next home game.
There's still a lot of games, still a lot of points left on the board.
Yeah.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Wow. Is this, we're really going down
wait,
this
wait,
road?
Wait. Yes, Jess?
I don't think that was related.
Not even a little bit.
It's got awkward.
Did
okay.
You just snort?
So, May 3rd, our next home game.
I'm just saying, it's
Vancouver
not over.
Whitecaps.
It's not over.
Of the three games, Vancouver is the most likely to pull out a win, right?
Because it's at home.
Where it's at home, Vancouver's struggling also, right? Yeah. If you get zero from these two with Atlanta and Chicago, is it just, are you still at the like same concern level, or are you like teetering off the cliff? Like, I'm losing it. I can't take this anymore.
I'm probably heading towards the cliff, knowing me.
What about the win in Chicago? Are you feeling rejuvenated, or are you just like,
did you say win or wind?
The win. The
win.
W-I-N. I don't care about
both,
the win.
Maybe.
Yeah, if we see 3 points in Chicago, do you feel like, hey, you know, we're on to something here? Or is it just like Chicago's?
It's the start of a winning streak. You got to start somewhere. You got to start with one.
I mean,
right?
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, but it's way, you know, it's like we talked about last week. It's far too small of a sample size to be like, yes, this is the start of something new.
Golly gee, just if good things happen, embrace them.
Oh, well, of course. If we win, that's 3 points, finally. But
I don't want to start our winning streak and then go to Atlanta. Like,
why?
Let's wait till after.
Why wouldn't
Atlanta.
You want to extend it in Atlanta?
Yeah, this I'm not hopeful on that.
I just don't want Kai to roll his ankles on the turf in Atlanta.
How dare you jinx us?
He played on turf in New England and in Vancouver. Did not play on turf in Columbus or Kansas City or Norwich City or Middlesbrough.
Thank you, Kai Kamara, historian Connor Cape.
He's the first Sierra Leonean to ever score in the Premier League.
Fair point.
You like that fact.
we're full of them. So last week, we made some bold predictions, and it's time to follow up. None of us boldly predicted that the Wednesday game was going to get canceled, so that throws things off a little bit. Joseph predicted over 2.5 points for the week, and that was a no. Connor,
I feel like we gotta throw this one out because weren't 3.5 points available.
Yeah, you weren't even close. You weren't close on the 3.5 points, so that's a no. Jordan predicted one shutout win. That was a no. Jess predicted three or more Rapids goals.
I was close, though.
That was close.
Close only matters in horseshoes and hand grenades.
And I predicted no red cards, no own goals.
Hey, but
so
you got that one. So.
Hey,
I have
won Jeffrey.
This round of bold predictions. Thank you very much. Our record was overall pretty bad. Let's try it again. Connor, do you have a bold prediction for this week?
I do. It's going to be Bastian Schweinsteiger own goal.
All own goals all the time.
One of these days I'm going to be right.
Jess, do you have a bold prediction?
Can I keep my same one from last week? Because I felt we were close, so there's no reason
we
won't be able to hit it next time.
Scored three goals on the road last time we were on the road, so.
Yeah, I'm going minus
word
the.
Word echo with on the road there twice, sorry.
Mm-hmm. No. Kai Kamara brace. That's what
That's
I'm saying.
That's not bold, come on.
Has
That's
it happened
so
this
bland.
Season? No, it hasn't happened.
The motor is revving.
Okay. I will step it up for
Jeez,
you.
Jeez, something actually bold.
Tim Howard assist.
Three.
No.
I have evidence of this. I was like, how sick would it be if, because it's windy in Chicago, Tim Howard scores again? Because when he scored for Everton, it was on a blustery day.
Yeah. Technically possible, but I will say.
That's like alien life. Technically possible.
We can't rule it out. I'm going 3-2 Rapids on this one. Beating Chicago Fire at home. That's it for episode 9 of the End Line. Please help us out by adding a review. And you can also downvote the one negative review we got, you know. You can mark as unhelpful. That's what I did. And recruit your Rapids loving. It's ethical. It's ethical. I'm an iTunes user.
At okay? least you're not petty, Jeffrey.
Oh, definitely petty. I believe you're the one that suggested we should track the person down.
I said we should talk with them.
Talk with them, yeah. I know what you meant by talk.
How do you expect to talk with them if you don't track them down first?
Yeah, exactly. If you have questions or comments, or you'd just like to ask for Eugene and Jordan and Joseph to come back, you can talk to us on the Rapids subreddit, tweet us at NLine Podcast. For myself, Jess, Connor, Michael, Nick, thanks for listening. Have a great week.